God is an ocean of all intoxication, bliss and joy. And our souls are of the same essence as that of God. It is also of the same nature, same reflection of intoxication, bliss and joy is in us too. But our souls are, which are expressed in the form of attention, that is drawn or distributed in so many ways. If that is withdrawn from outside and concentrated at one place, you will find the same intoxication in you. And you, if you become the mouthpiece of God, then the same waves of intoxication go out to the world through you as well. The masters, when they come, they are mouthpiece of God. Whenever they speak, the very air is charged. If you are receptive, you will feel rest, peace, joy. And you become more receptive, so much so that you forget yourself, you feel a sort of intoxication. It is spoken of Mahaketan Prabhu, the great saint in Bengal. He used to just utter the name of God. Every master has his own name. There are so many names of God. We are concerned, but they utter the names, and because they are one with the name, you see, with uttering, you know, their words are charged with intoxication. He went over to a place where the washerwomen were washing clothes, so many together. He just stood by one washerman and said, "Well, look here." He used to repeat the name of God, Hari Om, Hari Bo. So these words are, you see, whenever they come out of the abundance of heart, you see, men speak. That is the heart, and the soul was intoxicated. You see, the very words were charged with that intoxication. And he stood by and asked, "All right, Hari Bo, say God's name," you see. He thought perhaps somebody, a mendicant, has come, he wants money. So he keep quiet. He would not utter. Then he said, "Well," he said, I don't utter. I won't utter the name," you say. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "You will have to. You must." Then he thought, "No, he does not leave me, let me utter the name. That's very obvious. He may go." When he uttered the word, the very word is charged, you see. The sooner he uttered the words, he got an intoxication, and after the work began to utter loudly, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol," like that. When he began to do that, under his brothers and others, washermen looking, what has he come to do? Fellow brother, what is he doing? They came, "What's the matter? Hari Bol." Whoever will, I said that word, they also become intoxicated. So it so happened that all the washing places, there were so many washing places there, they all began to leave their work, began to dance in ecstasy. So this is what we do get in our from books by that. This is what you can have from the presence of who is called intoxicating. Of course, he would not give you overdose. He'll give you only that money for what your subject can seek. Such as we make the threshold fit for them, then put in the table. And that intoxication comes to that where? That is in the soul. And eyes are the windows of the soul. When a man is very much angry, his eyes are glowing redness. You feel repulsion like that on life. When you are in great love, your eyes will give same kind of reflection. So whatever, in whatever color, soul is dyed, you see, the very things are radiated through the eyes. That is why it is said, whether you go to your master, look into his eyes, before him. Because they are the place of the play of the soul. And whatever color that is already dyed, that will radiate the same thing. So she was just thinking it, Kabir, me, my master, is a very competent in. He will dye any cloth that will be given to him. But what he'll do, you see, when the cloth is dirty, even you give a color that won't even look nice. He first tries to wash the dirt of his clothes. And this then gives this light coloring, you see, that was very beautiful. So he is, Kabir was saying, you know, my master is a very competent, yes, he can dye us in the color of God. He is now personified, he is the intoxication of bliss personified. Whoever goes to him, he cleanses him through his eyes. You continue looking at your eyes, you think you have the same feeling that the other man has already. So eyes are very important in my life. But don't look into the eyes of all, because you have the same color as he has got. So, company of a saint, or a master, whatever you may call, who is in tune with God, you see, who is the mouthpiece of God, who has withdrawn himself from all the entanglements of mind, outgoing faculties, withdrawn with his own self and come in contact with God, you see, and company gives wonderful results. Like, I mean, flowers, fragrant flowers, which are put in a room, the whole room will be full of fragrance. If you put the same flowers in the cloth, cloth will become fragrant. See, when you put it under, in the earth, in the dust, the very dust will become fragrant. So that is sort of radiation, you see. If you find the field of area in which the personara or the master works, you see, each man has his own aura. You would like to verify that, stand in open light, sun light, and let your back be towards the sun, and look to your shadow. You find little radiation from your body. And the color of the radiation you find according to one's inner self. If a man is full of sins, that we call it black color, urine. If a man is, you see, loving, then you find bluish. If he is spiritual, then you find that color of his personal aura, you see, will be golden. But the more stronger soul in tune with God, you see, that radiation of the personal aura goes to a very long distance. Generally, people have trouble situating everybody. And those who have got yogic eyes, they can see from there what the man is like. Our master used to say, whenever any man comes, the master sees what he is, but he is not broadcasting anything. He tries to wash him away and then make him fit and give them color, you see, of God in terms of this. You find that is why all masters have spoken very highly about the meeting or sitting in a field of action of the master. Master got lower field of action. And the master souls, even when they leave the body, their radiation goes for miles. So to sit in the presence of the master gives you that radiation, you see. That is why it is called spirituality cannot be taught but caught, like an infection. Life comes from life. So the only thing remains to be receptive and receptive to some person who does not have possible community. So that is why, you see, Maulana Rumi said, if you have the chance to sit quite receptive, quite cut off from all outside for a little while, the effect that you have in that radiation, you see, is more than even if you sit for 100 years in true devotion, you see. So radiation is the biggest thing. So for that we have to be receptive. You remember, when Vivekananda came to India, at Chicago, to represent Hinduism, long ago, so to speak at home between ourselves, that's a very easy thing. We are all selected people from all the world over out there, and it means something. He began to talk. After a few minutes, he felt a little puzzled. What to say, puzzle? Then he asked for a glass of water. And for that period, the speaker can stop. Then he thought of his master. He was in India, Ramakrishna Paramahansa. As he was receptive, you see, he got the radiation. And he began to talk even before getting the glass of water, you see. And continued talking for 6, 7, 8 hours. And the people were afraid if he would remain all other religions aside. You see, that's the work of the radiation. Of the true master, you see. He is not a man, he is God man body. It is God in him. The world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So such writing, you see, is spoken of very wonderfully in all scriptures. So the company of such people has had only with the grace of God. If you simply sit receptive, so much so you forget everything, you feel. And that radiation will have a cleansing effect, you see, through and through. If you continue that, all darkness will be cleansed, and in due course, whatever radiation is got in the soul, that you will die, you see. So the Kabir singing was just singing. But my master is a very competent dyer, he said. When I came to him, he got this is the cloth I'm wearing, this is the cloth I'm wearing, you see, body is got, he got it purified and dyed in a very wonderful color, you see. And that wonderful color was of intoxication of God. So we are saying not even the man himself who is dyed in colors, but others also get the same infection, as I told you in the case of Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a wonderful effect what you can get from the real master, it's a real saint. This is the outward effect. And in a way, he will give you sitting and give you contact by the raising you out from the control of mind and mental fervor to give you better. These are the things which you get from the master, truly speaking. Your outward observances are the various rites and rituals, long life, devotion and other things. Of course they are good actions. They are prepared, they come. But this seed only comes from someone who is dead, that car. So that is why the company of sales have been given great importance. Because in that you, whether learned or unlearned, when you refer to your color, your diet, that very color in which is the diet. And that is done through radiation when you become receptive. So, you see, in that radiation sometimes you feel that you are in him and he is in you. And that is what St. Paul said. It is I, not I, but Christ living. Our Krishna is. All masters say the same thing. Who are on the way? He says, my body is filled so much so with my master. And now I forget whether I exist or not. That is the first language, of course. Then he said, I am so now full with the radiation of my master. Name is the same as I was, but inside he is, I am not, no more. So you find the same parallel thoughts. What St. Paul said, what Hafiz said, what Fifth Guru says the same. So that sort of radiation you can have only from the competent master. From others you can also have radiation. What sort of, in whatever color he is, that already. Of course, the one is a lusty man, excuse me. If you look into it, you will be safe in policy. Because it is the eyes, you see, through these things attack. Eyes are very dangerous to and very soothing to fight, you know. The eyes are dangerous and you come in contact with somebody who is dead in the world of things. And if you come in contact with somebody who is dead with not world but world, take a life, hell. World, take a, eliminate hell, then what remains? World. World is gone. So he is world personified. World was made flesh and dwelt among them. If you got radiation that way, then you will fill this world, whole world. This is what is taught to those who would like to have this such life and not one another. So such light, radiation and receptivity cleanses away the infirmities of the dirt of the age of ages past. You're born in Christ, you might say now in the world you have to use at all. You're born in the Master. And the question now, you ask the same question from the Master. Who has become like that receptive with the Master? Any question you put to the Master, whatever you say, if you ask the same question from the one who is receptive, he will also say, utter the same words. That is, that Master is working for him. But that begins with the, I mean, cognizance. Of course, some Master is, he remembers you. You are 100 miles away. And he gets by radiation, very soothing, very, I mean, feeling, word of thought, you see, from head down to foot, you feel a sort of, what you say, purity and bliss, the load of that time. You inquire whether at that very time Master was remembering him or not. You find he was remembering that way of thought work, you see. I had those experiences in my life. Sometimes I used to have it, and then I just kept it out and went and inquired, and such and such, what was Master doing? And they said, you know, you see? This is what is, you see. a disciple in the master's religion. But mind that this will only develop when there is no one between you and the master, not even your body, not even your intellect. Irradiation, you see, radios can catch one from thousands of miles. Why don't you have radiation from the master? Heart is very strong, you see. The speed of the sun is more than electricity, sun rays. And prana are still more than, you see. And the soul has got the quickest. Of 100,000 from man, you can release all at once the same moment. So this is what is to be developed and can be had only in the company of the master mind, reading scriptures for life, you know. Of course, such like you will awaken an interest in you to have that sort of life. This is just like oh, there's a river. This, in India, they consider Ganges to be the most sacred river. You see, Ganges. When it comes out, we have, it's only small place, you see. On the way, so many other streams join it. And all are called the Ganges. Excuse me, you put in, say, 5-10 bottles of the wines, then you, that becomes Ganges River, sorry. This is something to show. When your soul comes in contact with, by receptive to the God in man, you are purified. The most ill can be purified. There is hope for everybody. Master comes for the sinners, my friend. And for the virtuous, truly speaking, they are also attached. Good or bad actions, done at the level of being a doer, they are binding on you with their fetters. Whether they are made of gold or iron, they can bind you. So this radiation, what I am now speaking of, can be had only through master. Books won't be able to get you from. Hundreds and thousands of years now. Ah, you can have even at a distance, you see, by developing receptivity. That is what Kabir said. Your master may be living beyond seven seas. That's like we are now sitting in the other side of the world, back up in India, you see. And the disciple is the other way. You see? Direct your attention. Why, you know? That master is world personified, and world is everywhere. The very moment you become receptive, you get that. That is why all people there, situated some hundreds and thousands of miles, they get radiation and have been in there. And somebody will test them, and they have seen the masters anywhere. They are no exaggeration, but solid facts. Today also I received a letter from India. Such a fellow of ours came under a truck. And he said, when Master was standing by me, he saved me. Well, Master, I am body, not the masterminder. It is God who has manifested as some human form. That is Master, true Master. Of course, we have respect for that man body also, that true soul that comes out. Now you follow, there's no fear of being thousands of miles away. He's always with you. And the time of initiation, he resides with you and never leaves you. Still, you are absorbed in the subject. Till the end of the world, that question. So it was God's power working as the human power of Jesus, on the Son of Man, that will never leave you. You find the satellite having radiation. You can at thousands of miles get radiation, but all the same presence physically you cannot under it. That is before you. See somebody before you. Others you can have only by dwelling in security, not otherwise. So our master spoken of this as a company of this, physical company of mind. They are wonderful presence. One by radiation, the other by doing contact with his God power within. And in him it is only the God power that can give you contact with God, no other thing. Who can give you contact with God? God has got no ego, no brother, no face. It is sad that the very man body in which he is manifested, that manifested God Guru, give your life and give a contact with God with him. It is truly speaking, he is the master. Without a master, when you work in the physical form, you see, you will be just sympathizing with you. Sometimes you will shed tears for you out of sympathy. But the humoristic mindset. So he's all love. The more you come with the mouth, you become God. He is God in man. If you become God man in you, you see, your God exists in you. So that is why all masters have given that. So Christ also said that. You have read the Bible. You come to read the Bible and don't go on all the revelation, not going into the things what they say. You give an example of a tree, of a vine, you see, that the branches which are in connection with the contact with the tree, they are there for fruit. If they are cut off, they don't give fruit. Then he gave by that example, he said, well, look here, I am the vine. Thou art the branches. So long as you are embedded in me, you will bear forth fruit. You mean what he said? This is what he meant at all. To come to a master simply won't do, you see? Become deceptive. That you can, deceptivity can be developed only when then nothing remains between you and the deception. You not your body. You forget. Your environment, your own body. As you think, so you become. Isn't it? A very simple matter. No fluff is required for that. And unlearned and learned both have the same reason. But sometimes it becomes harder for a learned man to know these very simple things. They would like to hear these things in a very high style way, you see. Some people do meet us and say, if spirituality is so simple, we don't want it. They must have a very, difficult way, you see. That is why Christ said, be like this person. Suffer little children to come unto me. Because the kingdom of God is far. But what a child now? He is not educated, he is not with any degree. He got simplicity, devotion, straightforwardness. He is true. I tell you, we smile out to you, many. You follow our example. They're near to God when they're born. At home and in company of the outside, out of context, make the children work. You see, I remember of a child, somebody came from outside. Father, will you? Father, I've come to meet you. He went and inquired the father. Father said, well, look, tell him that I'm not in the house. I've gone out. So the child was going to say, my father says, tell him that I'm not in the house. So you see how simple. It is we who teach them these things. Our example, even if you don't teach them, they copy us from you, our life. they do what they see.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was from a talk called Dyed in the Color of God, given by Master in Washington, D.C. on September 17, 1963. Our reader this evening is Claire Stannard.
Hello, everyone. This talk is called Search for Truth. It's an English version of one of Master Kirpal Singh's Satsang talks in Hindi at Sawan Ashram, Delhi. This talk was published in the March 1969 edition of Satsandesh. We are neither much concerned with the races and religions, nor with any social order. The problem before us is that of God or of God-men who found God. We are all worshippers of the reality that is one and pervading everywhere. Lovers may be myriads, but the beloved is one. The creeds and faiths may be different, but the objective is one. We are all seekers after God, God of the entire universe, and God of the learned and the unlettered. He has nothing to do with Hinduism, Sikhism, Islam, or Christianity. He is one and only one. And we are his worshippers. Devotion to the Master is a sine qua non on the path Godward. Christ said, I am the vine and thou art the branches. So long as the branches are embedded in the vine, they are bound to bring forth fruit. It means that the seekers after God must strike their roots in the God-man. Without devotion to the Master, one cannot achieve anything. Guru precedes God. We have not seen God, nor can we see him. He is at a level much higher than that on which we are. He is the subtlest of the subtle and beyond comprehension. So long as we do not rise to his level and become as subtle as he is, we cannot see him. Each one has his own range of vision. Even the atmosphere around us is full of tiny living creatures called microbes, but we cannot see them without the help of a microscope. It is the microscope that changes the level of our vision, and we begin to see them magnified. The first thing for man is to rise to God's level. In the God-man, God is fully manifested. If we become guru men, we rise to the level of God and begin to see the power and spirit of God in him. We can neither visualize God nor contemplate him, so he is formless. In the guru, he assumes a form. Devotion to guru, then, is devotion to God in him. Guru, in fact, is not the body, but the God power working in and through that body. He is the human pole on which the divine power works and carries on the work of regeneration. This power neither takes birth nor dies. It eternally remains the same. God cannot speak unless he assumes a human form. Without a human form, how can the said formless express himself? Guru is thus the human pole of God and works like a live switch with all the power of the powerhouse behind it. Man is to be the teacher of man. Even to know God, one has to seek the help of a God teacher. In God teacher or the Guru, the power of God surges in fullness. His eyes are the overflowing cups of divinity. In his presence, one loses all thoughts of himself, of the world here or the world hereafter. From this stage begins Guru Bhakti, worshipful devotion to the Master. From now on, the disciple lives in and for the Master. St. Paul, when he rose into higher consciousness of Christ power, said, "It is I, no, not now I, but Christ lives in me." Khawaja Hafiz, in his own way, speaks of the same thing. "My whole being is so permeated with the love of the Lord that I have now no thought of the self, and my old self has completely disappeared. O Lord, I am now thine, and thou art mine. I am the body, and thou art my very soul. Henceforth, no one can say that we are apart from each other." Elsewhere, this Sufi mystic has said, "Since I am united with my beloved, I have lost all sense of fear. One who has sunk deep into the water of life can have no fear of death." The apostle, when one with Christ, said, "I can now fearlessly walk through the shadow of the valley of death, for thou art with me." It is a question of grafting a branch of one tree into another tree. What happens? The fruit of the second tree, while retaining the shape and color of its own, acquires the taste and flavor of the other. This is exactly what happens when the guru power or life impulse of the guru works upon the disciple. While remaining as before, the disciple is now no longer his previous self, for he has been bought with a ransom. To be one with God, fanafil Allah, one has first to be one with the God-man, fanafil Sheikh. This is the easiest way to reach God. It is the Atman in us that has to realize Param Atman. A part is always in search of the whole. We are so constituted that we cannot rest until we rest in Him. The flame of a lighted candle, even if turned upside down, would still rise upwards. A clod of earth, if thrown upward, is sure to come down. This is the law of gravitation. Everything tends to move towards its source. A conscious entity cannot but seek the ocean of all consciousness. So the search for God is something natural in man. Why? Because we are in search of peace and happiness. But unfortunately, our search is in a wrong direction. We try to seek happiness in the world without us. And strangely enough, whatever little pleasure we get because of mental concentration, we call it happiness. It is, however, a misnomer to call sense pleasures as happiness. When the reality dawns in us, then we realize our mistake. The real happiness lies in us. It is born of love, love of the self in us, and love of the over-self, which too is in us. God is the soul of our soul. Soul is of the same essence as God. There is thus an innate similarity between the two. But for want of real knowledge and lack of competent teachers, we do not understand the exact position. Like a butterfly, we flit from flower to flower in search of honey, or like a musk deer, go in search of musk from place to place. Little do we know that the honey and musk lie at the very center of our being within us. A child takes delight on a playground, while an intellectual person revels in his intellect. On the other hand, a young man seeks pleasure in his family. This is how happiness travels from one place to another, but it defies all our attempts to arrive at it. When one gets tired, one tries to search for it elsewhere. This is the beginning of wisdom. From within, he turns inwards. God, who is the knower of all hearts, makes some provision for the aspirant. He leads the seeker after truth to someone who has realized truth in himself and is competent to help us truthward. We have before us a psalm from Guru Ram Das. Let us see what he has to say. I am smitten by the arrow of God's love. It is a beautiful way of describing one's love for the Lord. Once this love enters into the heart, it gets deeper and deeper with time. It is something quite different from the love for worldly things. Guru Ram Das, in this psalm, is giving us a pen picture of his own mind. He had an intense love for God, and it worked like an obsession in him. He now goes on to explain what it meant to him. I am feeling restless for the sight of God, as restless as a thirsty man in need of water. In this couplet, an attempt has been made to describe the nature of longing in him. The great teacher wants to see God face to face. He likens his condition to a person dying for want of water. You can well imagine what a painful state this is. Lovers always pine and wither away in their love for their beloved. God is love. Our soul, which is of the essence of God, is also dyed in the color of love. It is but natural with men to be in love with one thing or another. As at present, we are in love with our body and bodily connections, family and children, friends and relations, wealth and possessions. But all these things, you will realize, are of an impermanent nature. Again, they are changing from moment to moment, and ultimately they do not abide with us forever. Either we are obliged to leave them, or they leave us in course of time. This being the case, we cannot derive permanent pleasure from them. It is just a transitory affair. Guru Arjan tells us in this context, we are in love with all that is visible. O Lord, how can we love Thee, the Eternal One? Let me say that this is not enough. It is a kind of attachment. We are momentarily carried away by the glitter and glamour of worldly things. We see things superficially. We do not realize that they would not remain with us for any length of time. The pleasures of the world come and go like pictures on the screen. How can we have happiness with passing shadows? Real happiness is a state of the mind. The saints therefore emphasize, if ye are in search of real happiness, take refuge at the feet of the Lord. The power of the Lord is all-pervading and all-permeating. The saints are worshippers of the Supreme Being alone. There is no God but God. They tell us to be worshippers of the one God. They come into the world to connect us with God. Their mission is not to establish personal connections with themselves. They are the messiahs or the messengers of God. They bring his message to us. They live in the will of God and have no will of their own. Kabir always prayed, my wish is of no consequence. Whatever is from thee. We may take the writings of any saint. In each one, we find the praises of the Lord. They have nothing to say of themselves. Christ, speaking of himself, said, I do nothing on my own. I do as my Father willeth me to do. They have no sense of I-ness in them. The great teacher has a great anguish in his heart. The wearer knows where the shoe pinches. The seekers after God are ever in a state of crucifixion. Why? One has to rise above the cross of the body, the point of intersection between the physical and the astral worlds in man, the eye focus. The Beloved lives far above. How can we reach Him? It is a question of inner struggle between the mind and the soul. The soul is keen to reach the Oversoul, God. The soul is languishing in the love of the Lord. One wants either to go up to God or God to come down to him. There is no third alternative. He wants to see the reality face to face and be absorbed in him. This is the way of love. Amir Khusro, a mystic poet, said, O God, come unto me and dwell in the pupil of my eyes. Let thou see me and I see thee. Let our love play be between us alone. Kabir likewise says, Come thou into the chamber of my eyes and rest a while there. I would hide thee with my eyelashes and try to win thee over. This is how the lovers talk. They are bubbling over with love of the Lord. This is the way to be one with God. Spirituality cannot be taught, but may be caught as an infection from one who has it in himself. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It is just like splitting the milk with a pinch of curd. In the company of such a one, we begin to put on some of his color. A certain change is surely to be felt. The atmospheric effect cannot but affect us to a certain extent. The way to God lies through love. Love is the connecting link between the soul and the Oversoul. Whatever practices and performances we do are the means for igniting the flame of love in us. But unfortunately, we engage in them just as a matter of routine on the physical level, like gymnastics. And these do not bring about an inner change. As such, they are not of much value to us. It is therefore said, one may, for hundreds of years, perform practices and penances, and yet be far removed from God. One cannot win God without lighting the flame of love in him. We have to fan the fire of love in us. Without love, we cannot reach God, for he is love. In the fire of love, nothing survives but the Beloved. In the Quran, it is said, love is a forest fire that consumes everything but the object of love. Again, love is likened to an eagle, seeing which all the tiny birds fly away to save themselves. Who can stand this terrible ordeal? None but one who has ignited the fire. Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th guru in succession to Nanak, has rightly said, Listen ye all with attention. Verily I tell ye that it is through love that one reaches unto God. Guru Ram Dass, having developed the fire of love in him for the Lord, is now feeling restless like a thirsty person for water. He then goes on to explain, God alone knows the condition of my mind and the great anguish in me. You would please realize that it is only the Beloved who can understand the excruciating pain in the heart of the lover. God is the knower of all hearts, and he can know best who is pining for him. It is only one who has passed through this stage who can visualize what it is. I may tell you of the condition of my mind in the year 1911 or 1912. In those days, I had a great inner urge for God. It may be due partly to my past karmas and partly to the present development. While sitting in the office, tears would involuntarily flow from my eyes and spoil the papers before me. I wondered what it could be. In those days, I was under orders of transfer, and my colleagues and home folk thought that I had taken to heart my transfer orders. What could they know? The real state of my mind. The mystery of life is the greatest mystery in life. Once this question crops up, one cannot ignore it, however best one may try to do so. It keeps on revolving again and again, and presents itself in so many different ways. I had an opportunity to sit beside a dying person. That had a tremendous effect on me. With the purity of life, I had also developed the faculty to read the future. All these came to me in a natural way. But with all these, I could not solve the enigma of life. The sight of the dying one before my very eyes quickened the intensity of my heart. I could feel that there was something that was slipping out of that person, but I could not make out what it was. I had yet no inkling of the life impulse. While it was still surging in me, it was ebbing out in the other. The lady on the deathbed called her friends and relations to meet them before leaving them for good. And in an instant thereafter, she closed her eyes, never to open again. This is how she passed away in my very presence, and I felt bewildered. I was flabbergasted to see the dead body before me. The life in her had gone out, but I still felt that it was working in me. I followed the bier to the cremation ground along with the others. While on the way, my eyes inquiringly looked at the bier, but could not make out anything. Even the learned and the wise do not know how to solve this mystery. Upon reaching the cremation ground, I saw the dead body of an old man being laid on the funeral pyre. Alongside that pyre, we set up another pyre for the body of the young lady that we had carried on our shoulders. The contrast between the two scenes, the young and the old, deepened the anguish of my heart. Neither one could escape the clutches of death. Both were lying lifeless before me. I wanted to know what life was. I tried to find the answer to my problem in the books. The whole night I would go on reading, but the books did not provide me with any solution. All that I could gather from them were veiled references here and there. At some places I could get tall and loud professions from the sayings of Mahatmas as recorded in those books, advising one to do this or that. The books even would tell that it was a question of death in life. But how it could be done was the problem. For this, there was no answer in the books. Bookish knowledge cannot give that which one can get from practical experience. It is a question of self-analysis. A real master can give you some experience of the way out. I came to understand the great mystery in its practical aspect only when I came to the lotus feet of my master, Hazur Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj. So all things work their way and shape themselves when there is an intense longing for something. I alone knew as to why I was shedding tears in those days. How could others know of it? In the world, we see people weeping and wailing for one thing or another. All these tears are for the things of the world. Very few weep for the other world, life hereafter. A real seeker after God is always in a state of acute restlessness. And this invariably is a happy augury. The thick and lowering clouds are harbinger of rain. The fruit trees bring forth buds and flowers before bearing the actual fruit. So this was the condition of the mind of Guru Ram Dass. In a condition like this, one invariably says, O Lord, a moment's separation from Thee prolongs into a life's agony. A night of separation is a terrible hell. The worldly wise weep for the world, but a devotee weeps for the Lord. It is through tears that one reaches God. If one could get him easily, then who would wear the widow's weeds? It is necessary to give vent to the feelings deeply set in one's heart. It is by copious tears that we can wash down impressions of ages lying in the folds of the mind. Maulana Rumi tells us that a pilgrimage to Kaaba is possible only through the sea route and not by land. So God can only be reached through the pearly tears flowing down one's cheeks. This, then, is the state of Guru Ram Dass. The world does not know what it is, but God knows it all right. He who talks to me of my beloved Lord is next of kin to me. In these memorable words, the Guru has given a beautiful picture of his inner feelings. Are we not always anxious to hear about one who is near and dear to us? God is the dearest of the dear and the nearest of the near. We are all in search of God and are keen to hear about him. Where is he? How can he be found? How can he be reconciled to us? Lastly, how can he be won over? God is the sole object of our desire, and for his sake, we should be ready to sacrifice all, including our own self. In love, one expands and feels that he is the richest person on earth, capable of giving away everything for his sake, both himself and his world. We are so keen to hear of him and his tales that whoever speaks of him endears himself to us. The person may be a total stranger to us, and yet we begin to love him because of the God's tithings that he brings to us. Guru Arjan likewise says, "Whosoever would take me to my beloved God, I would happily sell myself as a slave to such a man." Why should we be a slave to another for life? For I am so keen to see my beloved face to face. This, then, is the condition of the mind of one who is languishing in his love for the Lord. In such a state of mind, one welcomes any and everybody who can narrate to us the love yarns. The storyteller may be anybody in the world. We are not concerned with his caste or creed or the social order to which he belongs. We are all tipplers in the divine tavern. We all love divine intoxication. When a number of bibbers can sit together and enjoy, why cannot the devotees of God? It means that we have not yet developed love of God. When God power resides in all of us, why is there love lost amongst us? The first step in spirituality is to realize this fundamental principle. One who understands this basic principle puts on a different color. Ever since I have come into the fold of a God-man, I have lost all sense of duality, and none is a stranger unto me. I am now a friend to all, and everyone loves me. I'll stop there. I was reading from Search for Truth, an English version of one of Master Kirpal Singh's satsang talks in Hindi at Sawan Ashram, Delhi. This talk was published in the March 1969 edition of Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Claire. There were 53 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, I love you as friends, I would say. I regard you as the children of light. Because I love God, and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and have regard to you as well.